From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Stay tuned for some Madison Avenue ad execs, Canadian truck drivers, and old-school word game freaks. They were all on television in 2007, and they all earned small but intensely loyal followings. So today, they are our picks for our series, The Ones That Got Away. Nate DeMeo makes the introductions.
Television writer Matthew Weiner had reached a certain point in his life.
I was 35 years old. And I, at that point, I had three children. Now I have four children, married for a long time. And I started thinking about what it means to be a man.
And about how it seemed to mean such different things as it did when his own father was 35. It led him to an idea for a TV drama called Mad Men.
I don't think I realized it until this moment. But it must be hard being a man, too.
Mad Men centers around a Manhattan ad agency in 1960, in Matthew Weiner's Father's Day. It explores ideas about gender and American exceptionalism, all amidst the telegenic flair of sharp suits, three martini lunches, and overly elaborate women's underwear. In this scene, the morally complex and strikingly square-jawed main character pitches an ad campaign, and maybe a personal philosophy, to the makers of Lucky Strike cigarettes.
If you can't make those health claims, neither can your competitor.
So we got a lot of people not saying anything that sells cigarettes.
Not exactly. This is the greatest advertising opportunity since the invention of cereal. We have six identical companies making six identical products. We can say anything we want.
Mad Men has been nominated for two Golden Globes, and that could be the greatest advertising opportunity the show gets. It's on AMC, the cable network that used to be called American Movie Classics. 90 million people have it, but very few of them have tuned into Mad Men yet. A Globe win could help the network plant a flag as a home for original programming during a time when the borders of the cable television map are constantly being redrawn.
Near the top of the world, there's a place like no other.
It's a place documented in the hit reality show Ice Road Truckers. It's the highest-rated show in the history of the History Channel, despite having nothing to do with the Luftwaffe or Robert E. Lee. Ice Road Truckers is about truckers who drive on roads made of ice.
18 wheels, 40 below, a 50-ton payload on a few inches of ice.
Okay, there's more to it. The show follows several of the hundreds of men, and they're all men, who converge on the remote Canadian city of Yellowknife every February. And we watch them as they try to make as much money as they can by hauling loads of supplies across frozen lakes up to even more remote diamond mines before the ice melts.
It's called the Dash for the Cash.
And it's high drama. The producers borrow some tricks from reality and science shows. They track the number of loads each of the drivers completes, keeping score for the viewers, and they use elaborate graphics to explain the fascinating physics involved in getting these trucks safely across the ice. But the heart of the show is the men who brave the temperatures and the wind and the cracking ice to pay their bills.
I was pretty scared going up my first trip. No matter what people say about the ice roads, until you actually do it, you can't be prepared for it.
That's the first time in the show the viewer meets driver Rick Yem. He's one of the show's several great characters. You watch him drive hundreds of miles without a working heater in his cab. And you watch him get frostbite. I caught up with him on his phone at home in northern British Columbia.
Unfortunately, they don't recognize me on the street because it still hasn't aired up here in Canada yet. And I haven't been down to the States. From what I hear, we're recognized on the streets down there.
Which he admits is a strange thing. He does, after all, spend a good chunk of his year driving a truck on roads of ice. A job most of the world doesn't even realize exists.
I'm a redneck construction worker, and now all of a sudden I'm on TV. I'm just kind of proud of the whole thing.
Far from the Arctic Circle, a nightclub owner and a homemaker are on TV, trying to pad their own income.
So let's meet our first two brainiacs of the game. Mark Feldman is here from California, and he loves to boogie board.
Since the fall, daytime TV fans have been enjoying the television equivalent of comfort food. From the man who brought you Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune comes Merv Griffin's Crosswords.
Four letters, $100. It was the cause of a breakout for Jessica Simpson. Mark.
Acne, A-C-N-E.
Acne is correct. Well done, Mark. Jessica Simpson, celebrity endorser of an acne-fighting skin cream.
It's the first old-fashioned syndicated game show to hit the dial in years. And watching it, you sort of feel like your TV should have a dial. The contestants answer clues trying to fill out a crossword constructed by the guy who makes USA Today's puzzles. Except for some Deal or No Deal era set design, Merv Griffin's crossword couldn't be more old school. There's the expertly coiffed host with the too-good-to-be-true name of Ty Treadway. And in a time when network game shows boast million-dollar prizes, Crossword's grand prize is $5,000 in a trip to someplace pretty close.
Cancun! Enjoy genuine Mexican hospitality at the Omni.
It's such a simple idea that it's hard to imagine that someone didn't think of a crossword game decades ago. Actually, it turns out that someone did.
Merv did 4 crossword puzzles a day.
Rob Pritchard runs the business empire Merv Griffin left behind when he died last summer. Griffin tried to develop a crossword show for decades, but eventually let it go when he couldn't figure out how to make it work. Then the talent agency William Morris called him to see if he had any good game show ideas floating around.
They figured Merv, with his track record, it was a natural to sort of catch his attention again and have him create some more of the magic that he had done with his other shows.
Griffin cracked it with the help of a nighttime epiphany about how to represent the clues on screen. He got to see several of the episodes produced before his death, making changes to the set and gameplay, and tied Treadway's hairdo right up until the end. But even the throwback is rolling with the changing times in television. You can download Merv Griffin's crossword and play along on your cell phone. For NPR News, I'm Nate DeMeo.
Our series, The Ones That Got Away, continues tomorrow with Swedish singer and composer Victoria Bergsman. You might call her a reluctant star.
I enjoy singing, but I don't know if I could say that I'm a singer. From the start, I really loved singing, though I was very shy, and I still am.
Well, shy or not, Victoria Bergsman's voice has been everywhere over the past few years, on radio and in TV commercials, but it's never been entirely on her own terms. This year, she released the first CD on her own under the name Taken by Trees.
She came from the north, I traveled a day. Said she had something of value to say, and that's why.
Victoria Bergsman is still shy enough that she hasn't performed on her own here in the U.S. yet. So tomorrow, we'll take you to her.
And gave me a cut. She told me to touch it whenever I lost my way. To keep me sane. The sunshine lady came through my door, just like dancing.